As we come together again in the evening of the Lord's Day, we seek to worship and to praise him by singing together from the words of Psalm 86, from the beginning of the first five stanzas. O Lord, do thou bow down thine ear and hear me graciously, because I sore afflicted am and am in poverty. Because I'm holy, let my soul by thee preserved be. O thou, my God, thy servant save, that puts his trust in thee. Since unto thee I daily cry, be merciful to me. Rejoice thy servant's soul, for Lord, I lift my soul to thee. For thou art gracious, O Lord, and ready to forgive, and rich in mercy, all that call upon thee to relieve. Hear, Lord, my prayer, and to the voice of my request attend. In troublous times I'll call on thee, for thou wilt answer send. 86, from the beginning, O Lord, do thou bow down thine ear.
O Lord, do thou bow down thine ear.
Let us now draw near to the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our God and our Lord, once again we would present ourselves in thy house with the expectation of meeting with thyself, worshipping and praising thy name for all that thou art. Thy word is a rich field in which we can dwell day after day, to learn more of thee and to take more to the sweetness of our soul, to strengthen us in our living for thee, to encourage us in our profession of faith and our influence of light and salt in this world. Even this night, O Lord, we pray that we might know some of these things being realized to ourselves, that we might go from this, our service this night, out into the week that comes before us, and that we might do so showing to others where we have spent this day, in whose company we have been, that we might be able to take with us something, not so much of time and of sense, but that we might be able to introduce into debate, discussion, consideration, things of eternity, things concerning our soul and salvation, that we might be able to share with others something of the glorious demonstration of thy love in sending thy Son for those who had no desert upon thy mercy or thy love in any way or form, but such is that compassion thou hast for thine own, that thou hast perfected salvation and achieved it in Christ, and by the ministry of thy Holy Spirit applying it to each and every one of thy people. We thank thee, O Lord, for the breaking in of things spiritual to our own lives. We thank thee, Lord, for the way in which thou didst lay thine hand upon us and turn us unto thyself. And as we think of these things, O Lord, and all of the great rich blessings that have followed us from that day till now, may we not only feel the privilege, but may we also face up to the responsibility of showing and demonstrating our thanks by the way we carry ourselves and order our lives, the things that we do in the places that we go, that we may pay special heed to obedience to thyself, and in everything seek to cultivate a closer walk with thyself, likeness to Jesus Christ our Saviour, acknowledging thee and praising thee day after day for all that thou dost lavishly provide for us. Lord our God, we are alone and apart as we come before thee tonight. Thou dost know each one of us in all of the intricate detail of our character, experience, and memories. And we pray therefore, Lord, that thou wouldst minister to us where there is a concern with us that we could not, cannot share with others, but is known to thyself. The problems that we have in the past, the prospect of things to come in the days to in the future. Lord, we look to thyself, for thy grace is sufficient for each moment in the life of thine own. And so we pray that thou wouldst meet with each one of us alone and apart now, and that we might have something to cling on to, hold tight, to visit again after the voice of man hath ceased, and to seek and to find more and more to do us good from what we hear from thyself this day. Grant thy blessing, Lord, upon our homes and our families, those we have contact with and influence round about us in our community. We look out on society and we see so many people and the strands of society, the broad paths of society, leading to a place where we know there is a fearful destiny waiting. That place where God is not. The way in which there is that pain and fearful condemnation for sinners. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst lay that upon us, that we might be able to talk all the more simply but passionately to others of the way escape from such a destination. We ask, O Lord, that thou wouldst come in with those who know thee and who preach this message this evening and throughout this day in church services such as we have here, in old folks' home and in hospital. The way in which there is the opportunity in casual conversation with one another along the way of life. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst anoint with blessing, not so much the words of men, but Lord, anoint thine own truth. And may we be able to plead the promise back to thyself, that it shall not return to thee void, but accomplish the purpose to which thou hast sent it. We can testify ourselves to the power and potency of that word in our lives. And we pray that that might be repeated with the lives of so many others today. that the things of the world might fade into utter insignificance, that thou wouldst impress upon people the urgency attending the soul to know salvation in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray for thine anointing on thy work. We recognize there is so much in our life as a nation that would bring forth thy judgment upon us, that thou wouldst withhold that blessing from us. But we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst come and revive thy people, that thou wouldst, Lord, in power, deal with those in leadership, influence, and example in our land. That thou wouldst come, O Lord, and turn us back from the broad road that we've gone down so deliberately, that we might engage with thyself and walk in the ways of thy word, and there find that satisfaction we lack at the moment as a nation. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst put thine hand upon us, our people, our loved ones, those, O Lord, in the public eye. We pray that thou wouldst display to others who look on that thou art the living and the true God, and thou art the one at work in the lives of men and women, young and old, in our day. And especially, Lord, we would pray for and pray against so many who deliberately defy thy word, those who deliberately seek to make trouble for thy people. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst keep thy people safe in such conflict situations, but also, Lord, that thou wouldst frustrate that evil intent, that thou wouldst bring their activities to nothing. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst remove them from influence and power, small they might be in number, but with a mighty voice they seek to influence our nation. We ask of thee, Lord, to visit us then, not in judgment, but in grace and with liberal spiritual blessing for the good of each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst hear us. Come in with us in our service. We wait upon thee with expectation. We know the way in which we're frail and weak, and we've got nothing to boast of or to bring before thyself. But all that we can do is hope in Jesus Christ, thy Son, and ask that thou wouldst deal with us in grace and with love, pardoning us our sins, exceeding the asking of our words. For all we ask is in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We continue our worship, coming this time to the words of Psalm 84. Two parts of that psalm I want us to have tonight. Psalm 84, first of all, verses 1 through 5. The first five stanzas. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. My thirsty soul longs vehemently, yea, faints thy courts to see. My very heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. Behold, the sparrow findeth out a house wherein to rest. The swallow also for herself hath purchased a nest. Even thine own altars, where she save her young ones forth may bring. O thou, almighty Lord of hosts, who art my God and King. Blessed are they in thy house that dwell, they ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, in whose heart are thy ways. Psalm 84, these five stanzas. How lovely is thy dwelling place.
Girls of thy name.
Reading this evening is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 6. Let us read and hear God's word. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that you might go in, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be a righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Amen. And we look to the Lord once again for that understanding in his reading of his word. We continue our praise, this time coming to the second portion of Psalm 84, this time from verses 8 through to the end of the psalm, four stanzas. Lord God of hosts, my prayer hear. O Jacob's God, give ear. See God our shield, look on the face of thine anointed ear. For in thy court one day excels a thousand. Rather in my God's house will I keep a door than dwell in tents of sin. For God the Lord's a sun and shield, he'll grace and glory give, and will withhold no good from them that uprightly do live. O thou that art the Lord of hosts, that man is truly blessed, who by assured confidence on thee alone doth rest. Psalm 84 at verse 8 to the end. Lord God of hosts, my prayer hear. Let me say this just before we come to anything to be said tonight. One thing about going through any series of scripture passages, it means that it's predictable where we're going to go from sermon to sermon. That is the knowledge that you folks have. But there's also a consequence for this end of the situation in the poor bit. It means that we don't have the liberty to chop and change. We sometimes come across passages that we find difficult to preach. We would prefer to go around them, sidestep them, avoid them. But because we're going through a series, to be honest to Scripture, we can't do that. Now that's my sentiment. Perhaps it might be true about tonight. Let us turn then to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And let us read it first of all. Except the Lord build a house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Except the Lord build the house. The motto of the city of Edinburgh, it's in Latin, it goes like this: Nisi Dominus Frustrata. Nisi Dominus Frustrata. And that is taken from the very first verse of this psalm. Without the Lord, it is vain. Highlighting the lesson from this psalm. It comes in a negative way there, but we would prefer to put it in a more positive way, that whatever we do, and we're going to look at the different elements and areas of concern given us in this psalm, but it devolves also down to our own lives individually. Whatever we do, it's important that the Lord is at that foundation of what we do. The Lord is at the base of it all, be it a venture or an undertaking. No human work or effort, even what is undertaken for the Lord, will be fruitful. Nothing will be fruitful unless and until the Lord our God blesses that venture with his involvement, his commitment, and his presence. That's the spiritual foundation of the city of Edinburgh. That can be said about any city. That can be said in our day. But what about back then, in the days when this psalm was quoted and read and used? What's the context in which it has been given and used? How does it fit into the journey that we say we're on, to the city of Jerusalem, to worship there, to meet with the Lord, the experiences we've been highlighting along the way? We can take it, yes, and look at it that way, but we can also take it and think for ourselves, not just simply the big scale of the nation of Israel, but we can take the lessons right down to ourselves, right down to our Christian life. There's something that comes to us also from the experience of these people in this time gone past. Last time we were in this series, Psalm 126, we saw the return of the exiles from Babylon. And in Psalm 126, they were remembering the things which God had done for them. The Lord reversing their captivity, bringing them out from exile. The way in which they were restored to the land in such an amazing way. God working in the king Cyrus in the book of Ezra. But then there's that huge challenge that they faced as they returned. The buildings were derelict. The land was desolate. The walls of the temple were crumbling, fallen down. There was weeds everywhere and there was wild animals roaming around. And the Samaritans had come to invade the land. But despite all of that, in Psalm 126, here they were and they laughed and they dreamt as they faced going back to the land. Why? Why? Because they could see the amazing intervention of the Lord. He was with them. And it was, they could say, started by the Lord's intervention in the life of Cyrus, Ezra. The decree and letting them to return. The people and the vessels that they were using in the worship of their God. The provision that he made for their going and their repairing. And then, having been in a measure through some of these things, here they are going up to Jerusalem. And their prayer is, Lord, do it again. Turn again our captivity. Verse 4 of Psalm 126. Do it again, Lord. These amazing things that were done in the past. And now we come to Psalm 127. And all of these answers to their prayers when they went up and we had to invest in the buildings, in society, in the land that was promised to them. They now had the responsibility of putting it all into effect. If the Lord hears and answers our prayers, which he has done, what are we going to do? What have we to do? And this psalm, I believe, looks at three areas, big areas. Looks at three areas which are the foundation of the life of the nation and the people. And we're going to see these lessons from these three areas for ourselves. But as we do so, always and always take the lesson down to an individual level for ourselves, because the truth that stands for the people is a truth that applies and stands for ourselves also. Three areas then I want to look at. Building. Security. Family. Or if I can just be putting it like this, the buildings of society. The security and guarding of the city of God and the people of God. And the third thing we have here, the establishing of the home with the children God has given. Building, security, family blessing. The first of these, building. All was ruined. But they were here now going to rebuild it. And as they were going to rebuild it, they were going to look to the Lord to be with them in the doing of that. Not just simply bricks and mortar. Building here also extends out the structure of society. And that's what we've got to take with our study in this first verse. Building. But the second thing, guarding. Remember, they were captured by the Assyrians a way back. They were taken into exile. And why were they taken into exile? Because God was not with them, because they had provoked the God of their fathers, and the Lord had withdrawn his defense round about them. And so they had to cultivate that presence of the Lord once again with them as a nation. We ourselves as individuals, we've got to cultivate that presence of the Lord to ensure our safety, our defense, where we're living today, having to face opposition and danger. And then there's a third thing, the family. To survive as a nation, to survive as a people, they have to protect and guard the family unit. To build up a relationship with the Lord within the walls of the home. That's what they needed. Buildings, defense, family. And if we just hold on to that and look around ourselves today, we see today so obvious the absence of any fear of God. The way in which man is prepared to challenge God and take God on in the most obscene of ways. And the way in which they do it so dramatically, they throw aside male and female. They throw aside the regulations for marriage. They throw aside so many other things. They even poke fun at our Saviour on the cross. There is that regard and respect that is lacking. The fear of God in our society today. But these three areas we're going to look at, they're vital for the nation and for the people. But these foundation buildings must be drawn up and molded. They must be controlled and directed by spiritual principles. And there must always be the invoking of God's presence with them as they engage day by day life as a nation, life ourselves as individuals. So the lesson we have in our passage is biblical statutes, principles and teachings are vital for the individual. We know that. But they're also vital for the wider life of the people and the nation. And we need the building blocks of God's plan and the instructions of God's purposes for a daily reality to ourselves. Otherwise, all is in vain. That's a truth that applies to ourselves as individuals, and it applies to our nation as a people also. So very quickly, let's just simply try to summarize and set out what is said here. First of all, the building of society. Not bricks and mortar. But here we have the extension of this applying right out to the infrastructure of society to be built after their exile. All of the ventures, all of the undertakings, all of the things that they were planning to do. There is here the emphasis and the need of God's blessing in and for the prosperity of the nation. The Lord must be in it all. Otherwise, it's not at all. Success to them, to us. Success depends on more than just good plans. Hard work, honest endeavor. These are good enough, but they don't go far enough. Success as a nation to build society depends upon the unseen but the vital factor of God's prescription and God's presence to bring his blessing on a nation, people, then and now. We've heard the political motif time and again. We're going to build a better society. Great plans, lofty schemes are thrown at us. Social provision is made and demonstrated. But these things are not enough for the building of an infrastructure of society that will be stable and glorifying of our God. We need to invoke and to have the presence of our Lord with us. For our nation and for our leadership. Even whatever be the scale of leadership, it's a huge challenge to be in that seat. There are huge demands on that leadership. We're told here of the way in which, yes, they can be burning the midnight oil. Yes, they can be up with the early bird. But in between these two markers, there's always the sorrow. There's always the anxiety, their daily companion, as they exercise that leadership. But if the only consideration that we have, if the only consideration and plan that is followed is the prescriptions of a political party, then it will be vain and futile. Time well spent at the end. Time well spent after all our endeavours is to bring everything to the Lord and leave it with him for his blessing and his favour. Psalm 118, verse 8 reads like this. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Yes, having done all that we can do as a nation and as a leadership, having done it all, but then to commit it to the Lord in prayer. And we're told here that is the prescription for rest and peace and freedom from anxiety. Isaiah 26 says very similar thinking. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusteth in thee. This peace, it ranges out into every department of life as a nation. This peace ranges out into every department of our individual life and living. We saw Psalm 4. We quoted Philippians 4. That there, verses 6 and 7, the Lord is on duty. Guard duty. Keeping his people safe. Guarding them with his peace. So therefore we take the prescription that God has given for our nation, and we put it into practice. If you get an order paper for Parliament, the House of Commons, or the House of Lords, if you get an order paper from Parliament, the first item every single day is prayer. Every single day. That's what we need more and more as a nation. But it has to be something more than mere formality. It needs to be more carefully put into practice in the way business is conducted, in the way in which leadership is exercised. We need more and more of that responsibility and spiritual truth applied to those who have to make far-reaching decisions which cover the whole of our nation and our people. So there is told us here, we know it's true for ourselves, there has to be a vital place for God's word in the life of the nation as we find it to be true in the life of the individual believer. God's word informs us, influences where we are, the way we live, what we think and what we do. God's word is there constantly challenging us, constantly telling us where we ought to be, what we ought to do. What does God's word say about this? Something that we're new to us to try. What does God's word say about that? And these very same questions that we apply to ourselves, we've got to have them applied in the political realm also. In the political arena. What does God say about this political plan? Because we're here, they are there, to build up the structure of our society. Not according to any kind of political party philosophy or agenda. First and foremost, to build up our nation and our people according to the teaching of Scripture and God's word. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And one simple application amongst many. We have but a few, but we do have a few who fear God, who are politicians. They are going to be exercising their influence as best they're able to, but they're also going to be exposed to great opposition and pressure. They're going to be put underneath scrutiny as no one else is. Kate Forbes, one example. And we must therefore pray, not for a political position for them, but a spiritual influence from them. Pray for such who speak out on what God has to say and what God requires us to be and to do, so that our society is built not on the words of man or political party, but upon what God says concerning us. So yes, there we have it very briefly. The first thing, building. Building our society. But then it goes on and speaks not only about the building of a house, but it says, except the Lord keep the city. And here we have the element of guarding, protecting the city, the people and the nation and the religion and the faith that is in these places and people. And again, it's the same we've been saying. It's the same for the person as it is for the nation. We know danger and threat coming to us on a personal level. And the same can come to us at a national level. We know the danger of complacency. Well, we've been doing it all our life. We can just carry on doing it and the routine takes over and the habit is formed. But think of the example of Samson in that regard. He was tempted by Delilah and time after time he shook himself and he was able to escape. But the very last time, perhaps this complacency that we've been talking about had built up and he wasn't guarding himself. And we're told fearfully, Judges chapter 16, verse 20, he did not know that the Lord had parted from him. Complacency as a nation, complacency as an individual. But again, we can do exactly the same thing about pride. Pride comes into us as a nation and as individuals. And there's one beautiful example of it in Daniel chapter 4. There we have it. There is the leader. He goes for a walk one night out on the balcony. Chapter 4, verse 28. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might act of my power and for the honour of my majesty. Words that are swelling with pride. I'm the leader. Look at what I've achieved. We can speak about it. Political leaders. We can speak about it at an individual level. We can speak about it in church as well. And we've got to remember the fearful consequence of excluding God as a nation, of the course of action we're on as a people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We read fearful words. We've known them perhaps for long enough. If you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I've set before you. There it is, the people abandoning the structure of society that God has set before them. And if you go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them. And this house, the temple of worship, this house which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be of a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it. So they just say, why has the Lord done this to the land, to this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. We read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 the need for the people to be remembering what God had done for them in times past. But what happens when they forget? What happens when we as a nation abandon what God has done for us as a people? These are not just mere words. That's what the Lord said happened to them. We don't know what happened to us. We need to cultivate that trust and that reliance and dependence on the Lord. We need to make sure that he's with us as individuals. And we need to ensure that he's with us as a church. And that he's with us as a nation. And let's not have any substitutes put in. We're always directed, well, this is what you need and this is what you want. Again, there's a teaching from Scripture so appropriate for this. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3. The Philistines were fighting against the Israelites. And they were in battle and they needed help. So what did they do? They sent for the Ark of the Covenant. And it's important that we get the full description. They sent for the Ark of the Covenant. It was taken onto the battlefield. And the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines and taken away. And they gloated over it. They did not think of their emphasis being upon God's presence. But they were content with the substitute of the symbol of God's presence. And they needed to repent and they needed to return. As a nation to the Lord they had forsaken and forgotten. It took 20 years. But when you move from 1 Samuel 4 to 1 Samuel 7, you find the same Philistines were coming against God's people and they cry out to Samuel and say, Samuel, pray for us. There was a change brought about with them. They had been through that repentance experience and they are now focused back on what was important. And when you go through 1 Samuel chapter 7, you come to verse 12 and you say to them, here we will raise a stone, Ebenezer. Ebenezer, God has helped us. The danger of looking for substitutes. The danger for looking for alternatives. The same can be said. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 8 this time and the nation were there saying, look, let's have a king like all other nations round about us. That's what they're doing. That's what they're like. Let's have a king for ourselves. And God says, I'm the king of these people. But they don't want me. And so there was the consequences worked out for them that Samuel sets before them. If we want guarding of our nation and our people, if we want guarding of ourselves as individuals, we've got to keep on being alert to the dangers, and we've got to keep on cultivating that presence of the Lord with us. We live in a society where there is little or no sympathy for a Christian position. And so it's vital that we keep focused upon the Lord's presence with us. Go back just in our memories to what we were looking at on Wednesday night, Psalm 4. The very last verse of that psalm is, "My safety is with and from the Lord." And that says it all. That's what we need to cultivate. The presence of the Lord with us. Because he and he alone will bring peace to us. We saw there in Psalm 4, we've spoken about Philippians chapter 4. The truth stands in both texts. God is the one who takes guard duty around his people. God is the one who patrols and keeps his people safe. But if we're looking for that level of safety and protection, we've got to ensure that the Lord God is with us in the first instance. So therefore, we have, yes, what this psalm tells us, building the infrastructure of society, make sure that it's all interwoven with the commandments of God. That's what the sons were asking in Deuteronomy chapter 6. For guarding and safety and survival as a church, as a nation, as individuals, the same truth applies. We've got to make sure that the Lord is with us. And that takes us quickly to the third thing that we've got in this psalm. Lo, verse 3, children are a heritage of the Lord. And that word "lo," it's significant. It says, look, stop. Stop what you're doing and take note of this. Something needs to be emphasized then and now. The family home and the function and place of children in that structure. There was always this emphasis upon a large, big family for the Jewish family. There was always the possibility that, well, they're going to look after me in my old age. They're going to speak for me at the gate of the city. When I'm not able to do things, they'll do things for me. That's the way they ran, and that's the way they thought. And the only way in which that nation of Israel was going to survive, the only way in which they were going to keep on going, was if they had that succession of children to keep it going. And all of that time, these children, growing up as they were, had to be molded, taught, and equipped from God's word. Prayed over. Giving teaching as well as example within the home. And that's what we need in our society today. The most basic element of our society is the family home. And in that family home, whatever be its size, complexion, there has to be this element that is seen and perceived and felt. We have that plaque we often see on the wall. God is the unseen guest in this home. Listens to every conversation, watches everything that's done. That must be the effect of our homes as a testimony in the society that we're living. Proverbs 22 tells us, train up a child in the way he is going, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's what we need. To build our home, our family, our relationships within the home, to build them up on the basis of God's word and God's teaching. We are living today in a society where there is this increasing urge and deliberate intent to rub out every element of Christian society and Christian faith, to put it to the side and to the edge so that eventually it falls over the edge. And when we start doing that, we'll soon see the cracks developing and the crumbling starts in our society, ultimately to bring ruin. And we need to pray for each other, our homes. We need to pray for the relationships we have with each other, so that we in fact function and serve as a light in a dark place our society has become. Built upon scripture, the love that we have, the care that we show one for the other. Our society today then, what is it built on? There is so often people telling us it's the political foundation of whatever party is in power. But what we've got here is an alternative. We've got to build our home, our society, everything about us on the principles of God's word. There is that chipping away, that erosion of what is good for ourselves as a nation. But what is it going to be for our days to come? If we deny any Christian influence, if we put God's word to one side, all of the prescriptions brought in their place, one simple lesson stands from here: vanity, vanity. And we've got to take the examples of 2 Chronicles 7 and put side by side what it told us in Jeremiah chapter 7. There we have what God did to his people long ago when they did not heed his word. People came past and they saw a church crumbling down. What would they say if they walked past the street here and saw this building falling apart? Oh, that's what happened because they did not obey God's word. That's what it comes down to. And we've got to make sure that we cultivate and make sure that we keep our priorities set upon God's word. Basic foundation, fundamental to ourselves as individuals. But make sure also that those in places of power and authority do likewise. Pray for those who have influence in these areas and ensure that we support them as best we're able. The whole of our department of life, our financial strategy, our foreign policy, our defence review as a nation and as a people, in these and so many other departments of life, in medicine, in social provision, everything, every area of life, we must ensure that God's word is brought in operation and effective. And there alone, and then alone, will we build a house, a society that honours and serves our God, that is safe and healthy and wholesome for people to live in. Let us pray. Gracious God and Lord, we so often struggle to take thy word with us out into society where we must put it into practice. But although we lack in these areas, we pray that thou give grace unto us, not only to put it into practice and to pray for these things to be established amongst us, but help us, Lord, also to support and to encourage those who are of like mind with ourselves, whose life and outlook is moulded and fashioned upon the teaching of thy word. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give such influence and effect in our affairs of state, so that we might once again be a nation who lived by the book. Bless us, our God, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 33. Again, a summary as best able from our meditations this evening. Psalm 33, and from verse 10 to the end. God doth the counsel bring to naught, which heathen folk do take. And what the people do devise of none effect doth make. Ah, but the counsel of the Lord doth stand for ever sure. And of his heart the purposes from age to age endure. And then these words of verse 12. That nation blessed is whose God Jehovah is. And those a blessed people are whom for his heritage he chose. The Lord from heaven sees and beholds all sons of men full well. He views all from his dwelling place that in the earth do dwell. Psalm 33, 10 through to the end. God doth the counsel bring to naught. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Rest and remain with you now.